Good morning, and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host for this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we are going to be completing the section of our study that concerning the last days of public teaching by Jesus. And today we're going to look at the conspiracy between the rulers and Judas. Now this can be found in Matthew chapter 26 verses 1 through 5 and 14 through 16. Mark records this in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and 10 and 11. And in Luke, it is recorded in chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Now, for our purposes today, we're going to focus on Mark's account in Mark chapter 14. So let's go there now, and first we'll read chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." Now also, we'll drop down now to verses 10 and 11. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now let's begin today by considering the ruler's plot to kill Jesus. Go back now to verses 1 and 2. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." Now Jesus had already prophesied of his death on 3 prior occasions. Each one of these prophecies gave more precise details than the previous one. Though it is the Passover, the Jewish leaders are much more concerned about their planning to destroy Jesus than their observance of the Passover. Now this certainly should not be a surprise to us, for they have been set against Jesus from the earliest days of his ministry, and they are now ready to take action against the Lord. Let's look back to those early days and notice chapter 3 in verse 6. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. This goes back even to those earliest days. So it was now 2 days before the Passover. We see the plot to take Jesus was going to involve the chief priest, the scribes, the elders, and even Caiaphas, the high priest. Notice from Matthew chapter 26, verses 3 and 4 in Matthew's accounts of these events. Then the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. So their intention is to take Jesus by means of trickery or deceit. Their plot or their intention was that they would wait until after the Passover feast. These Jewish leaders were fearful that if they took Jesus during the feast, there would be an uproar created among the people. The leaders were fearful of the people. Notice Luke's account of these events in chapter 22 and verse 2. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Now, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, though that was their intent, it did not go exactly according to their plan, as far as their timing goes. For of a certainty, God's plans will not be thwarted. Recall Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, as Peter and the apostles spoke on the day of Pentecost, when the church came into existence. Peter said in verse 23, him, referring to Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Peter pointed out that all of the events concerning Christ were the plan of God, the determined purpose. The plan was about to be carried out quicker than the Jewish leaders intended. For we see now that Judas prepares to betray our Lord Jesus. Now back to our text in Mark 14, let us note verses 10 and 11. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Judas, one of the 12, makes the fateful decision to go to the chief priest. He is going to him with the intent to betray Jesus into their hands for a profit. Now Jesus already knew that Judas would be the one of his disciples to betray him. Remember John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Judas had been good and faithful earlier. Jesus did not make a mistake in choosing Judas as one of the 12. But what we see is a reminder of the fact that man is a free moral agent. And at some point in time, Judas changed. And he allowed Satan to gain a foothold in him. And Satan would quickly march through that open door into the heart of Judas. Again, in Luke's account in chapter 22, verse 3 says, "Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12." With Judas having sold himself out to Satan, the agreement is made between Judas and the Jewish leaders. The chief priests are obviously elated, and the priests are quite happy to pay Judas for his help in apprehending Jesus. Again, back in our text in Mark 14, verse 11, "And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money." Matthew, in his account, reveals more detail here as far as the agreed-upon price for the betrayal of the Christ. Matthew, in his account, in chapter 26, in verse 15, and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Judas was willing to sell out the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 30 silver coins. But again, we should not be surprised at Judas selling out the Lord. His greed had already surfaced in the past. In fact, it was his love of money that had allowed Satan to gain the foothold in the heart of Judas. Recall John chapter 12 and verses 4 through 6. "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." Judas was not concerned about the poor, but his desire to skim off of the top from what went into the treasury. And so, from that time forward, Judas began to look for the opportunity to betray Jesus. Verse 11 says, "And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Oh, how far that Judas had fallen. From one of the faithful 12 to one who did not just allow the arrest of Jesus, but in fact sought out a way to make it happen for his own greed. Back to Matthew's account in chapter 26. Now again, let's note verses 14 through 16. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." The question for us today: are you a true follower of Jesus, or are you a Judas? Judas looked okay from the outside. He was one of Jesus' closest associates. Many today look okay on the outside. But just like Judas, many today on the inside are full of dead men's bones. When our service to Jesus is just lip service, we become like Judas, and we betray him. Is your heart right with God today? Or is your heart more like the heart of Judas? Are you simply giving him lip service, or selling him out like Judas at the same time? I hope that you are a true follower. If your life has been more like that of Judas, it's time to make the change and go back to, or become for the first time, a true follower. Next week, if the Lord wills and we're together, we're going to move into a new section of our study. We're going to look at Jesus' last days with his disciples. I hope that you'll join me then. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Remember to tune in to all of the programs here on the network throughout the week. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time for Studies in the Gospels. Until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless.